want to start off with some dad jokes today. All the dads in the house, can I hear it? Come on. Yes. See, there we go. These are some Thanksgiving dad jokes, and I'm just going to judge how good they are by how loud you laugh, all right? We're just going to, we'll get a winner by the end of it. Okay, here we go. First one is, what did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving Day? Quack, quack. That one's pretty good. All right. I really can't believe I'm doing dad jokes. This is an all-time low. All right. What key has legs and can't open a door? A turkey. There you go. All right. Why did they let the turkey join the band? Because he had his own drumsticks. What happened to the turkey that got into a fight? He got the stuffing knocked out of him. Why shouldn't you sit next to a turkey at dinner? Because it'll gobble you up. All right. That one's there. We'll take that one out of the rotation. All right. What do you call a running turkey? Fast food. All right. Why did the turkey cross the road? He wanted people to think he was a chicken. All right. And why was the turkey put in jail? Because the police suspected foul play. I think the first one was, we're going to go back to the very first one because John laughed really loud at this one. What did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving? Go, John. There you go. All right. Yes. Yeah. All right. You know, it used to not be dad jokes. It was just a joke. People, I got a joke for you. Now they get it's kind of a little bit of an insult. I'm going to give you a dad joke with it. But I love them. All right. We're continuing our series today called Don't Miss Thanksgiving. Last week we talked about how there was 10 men who had leprosy. And when they saw Jesus come by, leprosy was a disease that just devours the skin and it kills the skin and it's contagious and it's just a nasty disease. And if you had that disease, you were ostracized. You were pushed aside away from everyone else. And basically you were socially isolated so that you wouldn't give it to somebody else. We know a little bit about that with COVID, but this was a little different because it wasn't masses. It was just certain people, and they were pushed away. Well, these 10 men see Jesus coming, and they call out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They've heard that Jesus is the healer. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, which is how you were determined to be cleansed or clean from leprosy. And on their way, the Bible says, they were healed. They got better as they went. And along this journey, all the dead, white, yucky skin, it just developed into pure, healthy skin, and they were made well. And out of the 10 that Jesus healed, there was only one of them that went back to Jesus and said, thank you. And Jesus gave a rhetorical question. He said, so weren't there 10 of you? You know, a little bit of sarcasm. I don't know if Jesus was sarcastic, but if we did it, everybody like, I thought there was 10 of you guys, and now there's only one. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. And he sent this man on his way. But 9 of them never showed up to say thank you for what Jesus did for them. And so there's a possibility that we could live in the blessings of God, under the blessings of God, in our everyday life, and never recognize the source of the blessing and never slow down long enough to say thank you, God, for the good things in our life. And that's how we miss a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. Jody and I have missed a few Thanksgivings with family through the years. One time we got up and we wanted to head to Thanksgiving. I think it was Thanksgiving. And we were on our way and there was an ice storm and we didn't make it to Thanksgiving that year. And we were sad about it, all right? When you miss Thanksgiving, you miss the food, you miss the fun, you miss hanging out with everybody and seeing everybody. And yet when we miss a lifestyle of Thanksgiving, we miss out on even more. So we got to start by making sure that our lives align with God's word and to say thank you when God blesses us. One of the ways we can do that is to just keep a journal. Sometimes I pray for things and then it happens and I forget I prayed about it. and then I don't give God the credit. But when I go back, if I've written it down somewhere, I go back and I go, I prayed for this. Right here, I prayed for this. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't just that life worked out. It was that God answered my prayer. And so it gives me an opportunity to say, thank you, God, for all you've done. So I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 5 today, verses 19 and 20. It goes like this. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Now let's stop there. That's exactly what we just did a few minutes ago. When we come into church, it ought to be fun. We came in here, we have a good time around here. We get to relax and be in the presence of the Lord, and we do that by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, by making music to the Lord in our hearts. It's a celebration thing. It's saying, Lord, I just want to give you the credit and the glory for all the good things that are happening in my life. Now watch verse 20. And give thanks. It's a command. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So give thanks. There's this moment when we go, Lord, I don't want to live with an ungrateful heart. I don't want to live with an indifference towards your blessings. I want to remember and recognize and thank you for your mercy. And I want to thank you for your love. And I want to thank you for all the stuff in my life. Thank you for the job. Sometimes I don't like it, but thank you for the job. Thank you for the car. Thank you for the house. Thank you for the apartment. Thank you for the money to pay the rent. Thank you for the stuff. But I want to take that just a step further this morning. If we have forgotten that we are dependent on God, we will live an ungrateful existence. When we forget that we are totally dependent on God, we start to live an ungrateful existence. Now, when your kids were born, there was no question. They are totally dependent on you, and they knew it. You know how we know they knew it? They cried all the time. I mean, it didn't matter. I want new clothes. These are dirty. I need you to clean me up in the process. Make it quick. Because I'm hungry and I'm going to start crying then if you don't let me, give me something to eat. They were totally dependent on us. And yet when we go through life, we are told that you need to be independent and self-sufficient. And those are good characteristics to have as long as we don't lean on those instead of leaning on God. Because eventually I get to that point, I can't do it by myself. Something happens in my life and I realize I truly am dependent on God. It might be that doctor's report. It might be when you get laid off from your job. It could be when the spouse leaves. It could be when the kids are acting crazy. And you realize, I thought I had it all together. I was making good choices. I was self-sufficient. I didn't have to ask anybody for any help. And then the rug was jerked out from under me. And now I realize, laying on the floor, wondering how I'm going to get up, that I am truly dependent on God. If we understand that ahead of time, if we understand that we are dependent on God every single day, then we can start now saying, thank you, Lord, for the things you've done. Thank you, God, for your blessings. And we can engage God, pray, ask him for all those things we need. But if we're living with an ungrateful heart, we don't have time to ask him for the right things. We're only thinking about ourselves. So I want to challenge us this morning. I'm going to give you four challenges to thank God in these four areas of our lives. Four things. Here's number one. Thank God for the people in your life. I know what some of you are already thinking. You don't know the people in my life. Look at what the Bible says now. I always thank my God for you. Now listen, that's an important scripture. But it means even more when you recognize who he wrote that to. The Apostle Paul wrote those words to the Corinthian church. Now, here's what you need to know about the Corinthians. They were crazy. I mean, if you've ever seen a messed up church, this was a dysfunctional church at the highest level. The rich people wouldn't let the poor people have anything when it was time for communion. I mean, they got one guy who is sleeping with his stepmother. I mean, they're all in the congregation. I mean, they're just messed up. They're bringing all kinds of bad attitudes. They all want to be seen. Look at me. Look at me. I'm more spiritual than you are. And there's this weird competition thing going on. And yet, the Apostle Paul says in the very first chapter of this book, he says, I always thank my God for you. What in the world is he thinking? He said, I'm thanking God for you, even though I know you're kind of messed up. And I'm going to have to correct you. And throughout the book of Corinthians, he tells them, don't do this, okay? Stop this. These relationships are bad. Treat people right. This is what church looks like. It's not a, you don't get to do whatever you want to when you come together with God's people. You got to, there's some rules. We got to do this the right way. And yet he starts by telling them, I always thank God for you. I always want to put you first. I always love you and I want to help you put God first. Now, the question is, do you let other people in your life know that you appreciate them? Do you let them know that you're thankful for them? And there's a million reasons why somebody would go, I don't ever say that, because man, if I tell them that, they're just going to think I approve of everything they do. Or I'm going to let them off the hook and they're going to be crazy. So we withhold our appreciation, we withhold our love, we withhold our thankfulness, which is another word for all of that is just living with an ungrateful heart. Just being ungrateful. Now our culture, we are so good. We've all heard the term cancel culture. We understand exactly what that means. That means if you make a mistake that we find out about, you're done. We're getting rid of you. You're out of here. It's modern day leprosy is what it is. You mess up on social media, we are ostracizing you. You can never be in our clique again. Cancel culture kind of sneaks into family sometimes. And we get a little bit high and mighty, and we think we're better than them, and you might be in the moment, but your day's coming. We get in trouble when we start acting out of pride and arrogance and thinking that we are better than our fellow man in any capacity, whether that be family or friends or coworkers or wherever you are. And we start canceling people in our lives. I'm not thankful for you. See, you might have that guy at work that's just a jerk. Can we all agree? We know his name, all right? You know his name at your job, right? We just do. So I'm just going to get rid of him. And yet, for some reason, God allowed you, if we believe that God is guiding our steps, we believe that God put us in that situation near that person on purpose for a reason, and there's something that God wants us to learn in that process. Paul didn't say, I love you so much. I'm so thankful for you, Corinthians, because you're all crazy. He's like, look, he saw the potential in these people. He saw what could happen. He saw that God was going to develop them and turn them into something brand new. Paul understood where he came from. Paul was the one who was killing Christians. And now he's saying, I thank God for you, you imperfect Christians, because I think we can grow together. When we start canceling people in our lives, we are not doing this the way Jesus tells us to do this. Look at this next scripture, Luke chapter 6. It says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others and it will all come back against you. Watch this. Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Now that little sentence right there, give and you'll receive. It's not talking about money. It's talking about forgiveness. If you give forgiveness, you're going to receive it back. Your gift will return to you in full. The gift of forgiveness, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Whew. If I'm thankful for people, I have a lot more patience. If I'm ungrateful in relationships, it means that I think that I have arrived and I don't have to share this same forgiveness. Now, we're not talking about enabling someone who has a substance issue. We're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about normal everyday life, and you have to make decisions, and you can love people even when you don't give them what they want, but you live with a grateful heart. I love the story that I heard years ago about the man who was living on a deserted island. He'd been out there for 20 years, and he never saw a boat or an airplane or anything. Finally, one day, a boat comes by the beach where he lived. And he starts jumping up and down. I'm here. And they pull in. And he says, I've been here for 20 years and I've been all alone. And he starts explaining everything that's happened to him. And they look around the island, and the people in the boat, they look around the island and they say, what are the three huts, the three houses you have up there on the hill? And he said, the first one is my house. And they were like, man, that's beautiful. That's great. You did a great job. And they said, what's the second one? And he said, that's my church. And they were like, well, that's beautiful too. And they said, what about the third one? He said, that's the church I used to go to. Come on, we're going to let that one just ruminate for a minute. I had to get away from those people. You know what he was saying? I had to get away from me. I'm carrying that with me. If I'm unforgiving and unthankful in my life, it's about me, not about you. It's about what God is trying to do in me. He wants to change me and mold me and turn me into something different. The Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit, listen to these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the stuff God wants to create in you and me. I just want you to look at somebody and say, just say, I love you. Just look at them and say, I love you. And now I want you to, in your thickest Texas twang, I want you to say, but you ain't perfect. You put a little twang in there, it doesn't hit so hard, all right? And now just one more time, just say, I love you anyway. Thank you. Nobody ever does that for me, Julie. When we are living our lives, we're going to always have relationship issues. It's going to be there. But if I live with a heart of thankfulness, then I can be a servant and not seek to be served. All right, here's number two. I want to challenge us to do this one. Thank God during difficult times. I'm going to be honest with you, I almost left this one out. No, I didn't. Nobody likes this one, but James chapter 1, we've read it before. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. He said, so when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy or thankfulness, and just to walk in God's presence, saying, thank you, Lord. I'm going to thank you. And I'm going to choose joy in spite of my circumstances. Nobody's circumstances are perfect. When we live that life of, if I can ever get this thing behind me, if I can ever get that done, if I can ever get that job, if I can ever get this much money in the bank, then I'll be able to relax. No, you won't. Because there's something else waiting out there. There's an opportunity right now in the middle of our trouble, and everybody in this room and everybody online at home, it has trouble of some kind in our lives. Everybody does. Everybody in here has stuff happening. And we look at each other and we go, how you doing? I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Jesus is good. And you're like, I know Jesus is good, but how are you? What's going on in your life? And so we do this because we don't want to explain it to everybody, and you shouldn't explain it to everybody, but we got to have somebody to talk it out with and work through it and move forward and learn to be thankful even when our circumstances are not perfect. Now, joy, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have to have the joy of God in our lives, and it's not about the stuff that's happening. It supersedes the stuff that's happening. When you see somebody who's got all kinds of problems, health problems and all sorts of stuff happening in their life, and they're the ones encouraging you, and they're the ones building you up and lifting you up and praying for you, and you're like, I should be praying for you. But yet they're the ones with the joy because it's a choice, and God will work in our lives. Now, why is it so important? Look at verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, it means when you got bad circumstances, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now, why is that so important? Why is it so important for us to have endurance? Because this is a marathon, not a sprint. If we're gonna live this life, this Christian life, for a lifetime and eternity, this is a marathon. We're just going to keep moving forward. Endurance is important. A sprinter just has to have enough wind to get from here to there. A long-distance runner, he's got to have enough wind to make it a long, long, long way. God has a long, long, long plan for your life. He wants to bless us in this process, and that's why he's trying to create endurance. Look at 2 Timothy 4. I love this. The Apostle Paul is talking to this young pastor, Timothy, and he says, I have fought the good fight. He's like, look, I'm getting older. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. The race was long, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Watch this. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. It's for all of us. Amen. Amen. It's endurance. God has to let me and you go through difficult times so we can develop endurance. You can't look at me and tell this now, but I used to run, be a long distance runner. Now, listen, you can't tell now, all right? I'm just hiding it good, all right? There's a skinny guy in here waiting to get out one day. I just don't know when it's going to happen. So here's what I know. Every time that I would run a long distance, longer than I'd run before, there was a moment when I would hit what runners call the wall. And it feels like every bit of your energy is gone. You're just jogging along and feeling great, and you're like, I'm going to kill this. I might just speed up. I'm feeling so good. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, all your energy is gone, and you feel like you're in slow motion, and you don't know what to do about it, and you're like, I should quit. I got to quit. I need to sit down. Your brain is telling you, you need to take a break. But here's what I found out. And every runner that's run any distance knows this. If you push through the wall, your second wind will come. You push through the difficulty, and you'll feel like you're running in hot chocolate. And then you'll think, I'm going to give up. I got to quit. My feet are too heavy. And then all of a sudden, you don't even know it's happening. And out of nowhere, this little burst of energy starts to come. And you speed up, and you speed up, and you get back to your normal speed. And you realize, I just broke through the wall. Now, when we do that on a spiritual level, when we realize that we are running in mud, that we feel like we're not going to get there, if we will keep pressing forward, saying, thank you, God, even in spite of these circumstances, thank you, God, for what you've done. Eventually, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is down the road, we start to get our strength back and we start to realize God does care about me. God does have a plan for me. God is working in my life, and we can finish this race that the Apostle Paul talks about. We can finish the race, fight the good fight. We can remain faithful. I want to say this to somebody. If you've hit the wall recently, just know that there is energy and peace and joy on the other side of the wall. Don't stop now. Don't stop now, because you will never know that you could have gone further if you stop now. Keep going. Move forward. Get somebody to pray for you. Tell somebody about your circumstances. Talk to somebody who's been there and done that. But whatever you do, don't stop now, because God has something beyond that. Amen? All right, here's number three. I challenge us to thank God for Jesus. Sometimes we get busy. And we're just like, life is good, and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm not, and we forget that Jesus is the focus of everything. To say thank you, Lord, for what you've done. 2 Corinthians says this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is that indescribable gift? The grace of God found in Jesus Christ. He says, let me just say thank you, God, for this indescribable gift. Has anybody ever asked you, well, what has God done for you? And you're like, let me think about it. And you go through this thing, and I don't really know how to explain it. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. When it's so good, when God has done so much, you're like, I don't even know how to say it the way it needs to be said and give God the credit that he is due, just to say, thank you, Lord. See, he came, he died, so we could be saved, so we could have eternal life. I'm going to skip to John 3:16. Let's take a look at that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God loved you and me, gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, Jesus is, he gave it all up for you and me. And it's important from time to time to slow down and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. You didn't have to. You chose it. You chose to die in my place so that I could be forgiven and I could have eternal life. It's important from time to time just to go, thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's an old song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I love that song. When he was hanging on the cross, he did it for me. And I really wasn't worth it. You really weren't worth it. Other people wouldn't have died for you. They'd be like, he's a loser. I'm not dying for him. And Jesus is like, he's a loser. That's why I'm dying for him. I love him so much because he's messed up. It's important to slow down and say thank you for Jesus. All right, here's number four. Thank God for his power in your life. I want to encourage somebody this morning. God is working in your life. How do I know that? Because he's promised it. He is working in your life behind the scenes. You might not see it. You might not recognize it yet, but he's working. Philippians 2 says this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is working on your life. He is changing things. He is developing, and we're going to look back. You see, he hasn't forgotten you. He knows where you are. He knows where he wants you to go. He knows how to get you there. He's working. He's working. So what is the big problem right now in your life, the thing that you're facing? Just know that that problem might not change today or tomorrow, but in the background, God is working. God is changing circumstances and developing and taking you down this road. But here's what will happen. We get discouraged and we want to quit. We want to give up. We're like, well, God hasn't done anything for me. I've talked to multiple people through the years who say, well, God didn't care about me when he let this happen or that happen. And they forgot to realize that God was working. And they circumvented the process. They got out of the process and started doing it on their own instead of what God was doing and cooperating with him. You see, Satan, the Bible says, is an accuser and a deceiver. And Satan is not going to tell you, you're going to be okay. Satan is not going to tell you. He's going to tell you, your life is falling apart. You're not going to make it. Everything is going to crumble before your very eyes. You're dying. He is going to lie. He is going to accuse. And God is saying to you and me, I've got more for you. I have something for you. I want to help you, but you got to work with me. I got a plan. I'm developing it here. Psalm 118. This is not on the screen. I just want you to hear this one. Verse 5. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord. In my distress, in my turmoil, in my difficulty, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. Now watch. The Lord is for me, so I have no fear. For the Lord is for me, I have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. He's saying, look, you can look to everybody around you who hates you and want their approval and hope they're going to help you, or you can look to the Lord. You can trust him. You can let God be the one that supplies the need and answers your prayers. Jeremiah 29:11, I love this passage. Jeremiah is telling the people of Israel, look, you're going to be in Babylonian captivity, but I need you to remember this, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a hope, a future and a hope. God, listen, if God tells you, I got a future for you, it means he's thinking ahead. It means he's got a plan. So I want you to stand with me right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the difficulty you're facing and dealing with right now, but here's what I do know. It's like the old preacher said, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know I can trust him. So we're just going to, in thankfulness, approach God this morning. In thankfulness. Now, can I just be really honest and upfront with you? The Bible speaks of a sacrifice of praise. It's that moment when you're like, this is uncomfortable and I don't like it and I'm not sure I even believe it. But I'm going to give God glory. From the bottom of my heart, I'm not going to wait till I feel it. Because we feel it when the victory comes, right? It's easy to believe it when you see the victory right before you, right? But when you have to trust God in faith and say, Lord, I know who you are. I know you have my future. I know you've given me a hope. I know you have something out there for me. It takes faith. And when we're saying, Lord, I know all you've done in the past and I'm thankful. And I don't want to miss out on this lifestyle of thanksgiving. I don't want to live with an attitude of ingratitude. I want to put my faith in you 100%. I want to trust you with my life. And I know I can. And in advance, I'm just going to thank you for all you're doing. I'm just going to thank you for all that's coming. And I'm going to trust you to know what's best more than I know. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to live with gratitude. We're going to sing this song and we're going to pray first. I want us just to take a minute. Just really lean into the Lord this morning. Just let God speak in your heart. Let him speak to you this morning. Let him speak life to you. Remember, Satan is the accuser and the deceiver. Satan's never going to speak life into you. But it's so much easier to believe a bad report than a good report. God wants to speak life into our hearts and our lives this morning, but we got to trust him. Father, we thank you so much today for all you've done. We thank you, God, that your grace is sufficient. We thank you, Lord, that you walk with us even when we don't see you walking with us. Lord, we ask today that you would move in the lives of every person in this room, God. Lord, the person who is desperate, in distress, that they would call on you today. And you would show up, Lord, and remind them how much you love them and how much you care about them. Lord, help us just to give you thanks for all these things we've talked about this morning and to put you first in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it together. Let's sing it, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is bow down before him, for he is Lord of them. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't he
pray right now, and I want to invite everybody who says, I have something in my life that I need to turn over to God. The Bible says it in several different ways. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. He says His yoke is easy, His burden is light. He tells us to unload this stuff. And yet we have a tendency to think we can carry it, and we get tired and we get weary and we're unhealthy and all that goes along with that, okay? The picture here of the song we were just singing is the altar. The altar was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of unloading. It was a place where God lived. It was where mankind met God. They met at the altar. This was the place in the Old Testament where God showed up. When they brought that sacrifice and they laid it before God, He showed up in their lives and worked miraculously. He gave them miracles. He gave them victories. He showed up just in His presence. I don't know what you need this morning. I don't know if you need a miracle, a victory. I don't know if you just need to be in God's presence. But I tell you this, if we approach Him, the Bible says He stands at the door and knock. All we got to do is open. There's so much beautiful imagery. He just wants us to open the door and He comes in. So what is it that you're carrying? What is it that God, that you need God to do this morning? As we sing this one more time, I want you just to tell Him. Just tell Him what it is you need Him to do in your family, on your job, in your checkbook, whatever it is. Let's release it to Him and let's trust Him. God, right now, we just give it to You. During this song, Lord, we just give it to You. We thank You for what You're about to do in each life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's do it.
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Trust You, Lord. We trust You more than we trust ourselves. And we ask You today to work in every family represented here. God, we pray for that one that is away from You, Lord, that they would come back to You, Lord, that they would realize that You are waiting with open arms. Lord, for the person who's gotten the bad doctor's report or the layoff or whatever it is, we just ask You today. We ask You today to hear and answer. You've already promised You would, to hear and answer every prayer. And we lean on You. We rely on You. We put our trust in You. And we say thank You for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Him some praise. Amen. 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 I want to, boy, there's just so much. Man, God is doing something. I want to challenge you to do this week to do something. The Bible tells us we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. It's when Jesus washes away our sins. And the word of our testimony. When we tell somebody what God is doing in our lives, right? When we tell somebody. Now, you don't have to stand up here with a microphone. That's great. Those are awesome. That's encouraging. But it might be that during break time, you get to tell somebody a testimony, just what you've seen God do in your life. A testimony can go as simple as, I've been praying for my kids, or I've been praying for that thing at home, and God is working it out. God is answering it. Now, you're not asking them to jump up and down with joy for you. You're giving a testimony because you're just sharing the goodness of God. That's all it is. And we're made overcomers when we share what God has already done, and we build our faith in the process for what God is going to do in the future. But we got to trust Him right now, and we have to share what He's done. So I challenge you, put together a 1-minute testimony. It's elevator speech, right? If you were selling ball caps, you'd have a 1-minute speech, right? You'd be like, this is the greatest ball cap that ever lived, and I can sell it to you, and this is why you need one. And we would have that speech. Well, you're a believer, and you don't have to sell this product. You just tell people about what Jesus has done for you. He'll take care of the selling his own self. And we share it with Him. So come up with, hey, here's a 1-minute. And then pray for God to open up the opportunity. Don't walk into work and slap somebody with your testimony first thing Monday morning. They're going to be like, psh, I don't need to hear it, all right? Pray for God to open up the right opportunity. And I believe He will. I believe He will as we share this message. Amen. Father, thank You for what You're doing. Bless us as we go. Help us to honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.